Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These listeners have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly, or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly, or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly, or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly, or an annual gift of $2,000. Reformation Club benefits include shirts, books, broadcast transcripts, and advertising for confessional Lutheran churches. Learn more about joining the Issues Etc. Reformation Club on the Support Donate page at IssuesETC.org. And look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses, or call Lynn 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club. I have not had this experience, and I, God willing, never will, to step out onto a battlefield armed and ready, but in the midst of war. Many, many people have had that experience, and almost without exception, they have come back from it changed. Maybe wounded physically, maybe disabled, but in every case, changed. Now, can you imagine stepping on that battlefield and not believing what the Bible says, not having the promises of God ready to go and firm and certain for you in Jesus Christ? Welcome back to Issues Etc. It's day five of Issues Etc. Reformation Week. Today, we'll talk about a journey from theism to Lutheranism. Jake Domick is our guest. He's a U.S. Army Ranger veteran, Hillsdale College grad, a former political staffer, member of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hillsdale, Michigan. He's author of a column for the latest Issues Etc. journal titled Wittenberg Trail, From the Battlefield to Christ's Altar, My Journey to Confessional Lutheranism. Jake, welcome.
Hey, thanks so much for having me back here, Todd. Happy to be on board today.
You didn't grow up Lutheran. What did you believe about Lutherans growing up?
Well, I guess I could summarize that as I basically believed Lutherans believed the same thing as all Protestants do. I knew my dad had been raised Lutheran as a child and that my paternal grandparents were Lutheran. Outside of that, I didn't know what, you know, the LCMS was or the ELCA, that there were distinct differences. I had that basic fundamental understanding that, you know, Martin Luther opposed the Roman Catholic Church, and because of that, he was the father of all Protestantism of today, and thus all Protestants generally agreed on that same line, you know, the Lord's Supper is just a symbol, baptism is a symbol, and that we're saved by, you know, grace through faith alone, yada, yada, yada. But that is how I came to understand Lutheranism as a child and growing up.
What was your religious upbringing?
Well, you know, I was born and raised in West Michigan, and I don't think probably most of your viewers know that, but West Michigan's generally the beating heart of the Dutch Reform movement and church in the United States. So I was baptized into that church body, which my mother grew up into. That's where I spent my very early years until my parents were tired of just some of Reformed theology. And we ended up at the Evangelical Covenant Church, which is a split off of the Swedish Lutheran pietistic movement of the later half of the 19th century. And from there, that's where I spent a majority of my youth, very evangelical in nature, very pietistic in outlook. Quite a bit of Rick Warren. That was actually a sermon series when it first came out at my parents, our church at the time. And from there, I just kind of had that basic comprehension that, you know, Jesus died on the cross, Jesus is God, but nothing really deeper than that. You know, if you asked me as a kid what the Lord's Prayer is, I probably couldn't have told you, or, you know, the Nicene Creed, no concept whatsoever of that broader kind of idea of sacramental Christianity.
You started to drift away from church during high school. How did your beliefs change?
I think I'm like most, you know, American kids in high school. You start kind of rebelling against your parents. Some of us probably, some do that probably through actions, like outward actions. I probably did that more in thinking. So I became very, I guess, influenced by some, what you could label as enlightenment thinking became to see kind of God as much more of a deistic creator that sets the world in motion and nothing else. I think that has quite a bit to do with evangelicalism's theology quite a bit, especially its Christology, right? When you don't see Christ in the Old Testament at all, right? There's kind of that gap between the Old and New Testaments. So you can quickly kind of feel like, oh, well, this can't be true. This is just more of a story, right? And when you're in a church body, that, you know, will say, well, Genesis isn't really true, right? There wasn't really an Adam and Eve. There's nothing irreconcilable between that idea and our Lord's word being absolutely true. And through that, I think that allows, you know, younger people often to start just seeing the world in a different context and can quickly try to reconcile what is obviously the popular narrative or belief of the society with their faith, which they've been raised in.
Your senior year, you began attending church again. What kind of church was it?
So on the invitation of a friend who was a track teammate at my high school, I started attending his youth group, which was a United Methodist Church youth group. I wouldn't call that church specifically very United Methodist. It was much more evangelical megachurch. They had multiple campuses across West Michigan. So I became very heavily involved in that church. You know, I probably said the sinner's prayer multiple times my senior year just to ensure that I had made up my mind, recommitted my life to Christ after my stint with deistic theology. And that's how I ended up at a megachurch. And then little did I know, less than about 3 years later, I'd be a Lutheran.
Why did you want to join the army and go fight in Afghanistan?
I think there's a couple of main reasons for that. I mean, I grew up, my father was a veteran. He's a veteran and was a veteran of the Panama invasion in 1989 and also the Persian Gulf War in 1991. So I very much grew up in that concept of hearing army stories from dad before bedtime. And then both my grandfathers served in the armed forces. So I had just kind of that lineage of family. You know, I always make jokes now at the dinner table when I'm visiting my parents, but, you know, with my brother, that, you know, we didn't go to Disneyland or Disney World for vacations as children. We went to battlefields like Gettysburg and Antietam, the Alamo, Colonial Williamsburg. We spent our childhood visiting these, where my dad would want us to learn stories, you know, about sacrifice and valor and heroism. And then I always grew up with just a love of history from my father, just reading about military history. A lot of our bedtime stories were the Red Badge of Courage, stories about George Washington. And then by the time I reached that middle school, high school age, I became just fascinated with the Second World War, specifically Stephen Ambrose's books, Band of Brothers, and the miniseries HBO produced out of that. And, you know, having witnessed the September 11th terror attacks as a elementary school child, you know, that always stuck with me that there was a war going on outside the country. And, you know, by the time I was 15, 16, I just realized, you know, I was reading these stories about all these World War II guys that put everything aside to go fight. And I just realized I didn't want to look back at 70 years old and just say, you know, when my country is at war, I didn't go. So I made up my mind about 16 and just said, told my parents, I'm not going to college. I'm going to enlist in the army as soon as I'm able to. And that's how I ended up in the U.S. Army.
So at 17, you enlisted. Tell us a little bit about your training. You made it all the way to Ranger School, didn't you?
So I was a member of the 75th Ranger Regiment, which is one of our nation's special operations units. So I attended basic training, infantry school, airborne school, and then Ranger selection for the 75th Ranger Regiment. The Ranger Regiment was, up until a few months ago, was continuously deployed in support of the global war on terror to Iraq, Afghanistan. Volunteering for a special operations unit, you're basically guaranteeing you have a ticket to the fight. And I've realized back in 2011, a decade ago, when the current administration said, we're going to withdraw troops by this day, you know, I didn't want to miss out on that opportunity. I want to push myself to be better. So I ended up volunteering to join the Ranger Regiment as a Ranger. I successfully completed their selection and then found myself assigned to one of their line battalions, which are geographically spread across the United States.
What about your training there in the Army made you question your evangelical beliefs?
Well, I always like to say, right, the Army is a profession of hard men. Not to say that hard men are bad, but to be a hard man, you have to be willing to be aggressive, to be willing to accept that you are in a violent profession, which isn't bad, right? We know God uses hard men and violence inside the civil realm to keep order, right? To keep the physical manifestations of evil at bay. But with that, there's a certain segment, I would say, within evangelical theology, which for colloquial terms, we'll just say, right, is the feminization of Christian manhood, that aggressiveness, that spirit, right, is bad. It's not good. But we know it is good, right, as Lutherans, because, you know, God calls men to certain vocations. Some of those include, right, wielding the sword, which we know is good in just ways. It is good. So I quickly found just kind of that naive kind of thinking that, you know, deep down we're all good people really wasn't fitting the world I knew now found myself exposed to and living in. I was one of the only Christians generally in training. So I often just found like this worldview is not holding or helping me going through this training. I just slowly started abandoning it over the course of the training, stopped going to church because I just was like, oh, the self-help message is not really helping me.
Jake Domick is our guest. He's author of a column for the Latest Issues, Etc. Journal, Wittenberg Trail, From the Battlefield to Christ Altar, My Journey to Confessional Lutheranism, Stay 5 of Issues, Etc. Reformation Week. Did the early church teach Scripture alone, or was this a new teaching by the Lutheran Reformers? Find out in Pastor Will Whedon's column in the Latest Issues, Etc. Journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Jake Domick recounts how he found the comfort of the Lutheran Confession during a military deployment to Afghanistan. The free online Issues, Etc. Journal, issuesetc.org.
I'm Chaplain Sean Denzer, Director of Worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Congregations work hard to keep the Word of Christ dwelling richly in His disciples now and into eternal life. We work to help and support that effort. Learn more at lcms.org/worship. You'll find resources on the church year, Bible studies on the hymns of the day, audio helps for learning to sing our services, and look for worship planning resources to find the latest from LCMS worship. That's lcms.org/worship. May the Word of Christ dwell richly in you.
Are you on the road to paradise in the southern Puget Sound area of western Washington, but looking for a traditional liturgical Lutheran congregation in classical Lutheran elementary school? Parkland Lutheran Church and School in Tacoma, a member of the Evangelical Lutheran Synod, is the place to find our Savior's rest on Sunday mornings and Monday evenings. Visit our website at parklandlutheran.org for service times and downloadable sermons. Preaching, teaching, and distributing Christ and Him crucified every week.
Unshaken from Psalm 16:8 is the theme for the 44th academic year at Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois. We engage young adults in a Christ-centered environment, delivering academic excellence and encouraging spiritual growth. Please help us provide tuition assistance to more students by making a tax-deductible gift at melhs.org and click on the support page. Or call me, Dr. Jay Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
Old theology, new technology. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Issues, Etc. guest, Dr. Ben Mays of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Here's what Martin Luther says about the pastoral office. My pastor is practicing the virtue that increases God's kingdom, fills heaven with saints, plunders hell, robs the devil, wards off death, represses sin, preserves peace and unity, and plants all kinds of virtue in the people. In a word, he is making a new world. He builds not a poor temporary house, but an eternal and beautiful paradise in which God himself is glad to dwell. We are calling good men to step up. Come to Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Learn more about studying for the vocation of pastor at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's day five of Issues Etc. Reformation Week. We're hearing Jake Domick's story of going from theism to Lutheranism. So, Jake, you mentioned before the break how the worldview and the ideas of evangelicalism proved really inadequate in your time serving our country in the army. How did it change your worldview, your view of the world?
I think, you know, I have a BA in history. I really try to focus in on military history. You know, when you read diaries of veterans, being friends with veterans of the same conflict, veterans, friends with veterans of other conflicts, you know, you talk. And I think one of the things most universal to wartime experience is you truly see, you know, the thin veneer of civilization pulled back. You notice deep down we are not good at heart. We are easily corruptible. We see this not only in other people, but we see it in ourselves in war, because war is terrible, right? It's people die in war. That is part of war. Death is surrounding you when you have that just kind of experience, right? You lose a lot of our, what I would call 21st century American eyes, that the world is a safe place, that people are generally good, right? You quickly find that to be false. And when that happens, right, your worldview is just going to change. And I would point out, you generally, the younger the person that's involved, right, that's going to be a more drastic world change, right? Rather than someone who's older, who's had more life experience. But when you have, you know, 19, 20-year-old men in war, right, they don't have that life experience. So it's just going to be that drastic change you see, right? You see it in others and you see it in yourself.
At this time, your father was making attempts to introduce you to Lutheran theology. How is he doing that?
Well, that's a part of the longer part of the story, but I'm happy to go into it. So my dad was raised a Missouri Synod Lutheran, had left 1980-ish, right after the battle for the Bible. My dad just decided, you know, he was done with it. Met my mom. They became very reformed and evangelical in their outlook. My dad, to quote him, said, you know, at that point, I said, you know, Lutheranism was a dead religion. I didn't want anything left to do with it. Well, you know, financial crisis happened in 2008, basically sidelined my dad's business. He just, I don't know how he did it, but he ended up reading St. Augustine, reading himself into Luther, and then just slowly going to a local Lutheran church and meeting with the pastor, probably starting about 2011, 2012. I had no idea this was going on at the time. And when I was in the Army, through training, right after I showed up to my respective Ranger Battalion, my dad started sending me videos from Lutheran satire, which I thought were funny because they're snarky. They make fun of stuff with punchy lines. And then he kept sending me links to this podcast. He was like, you need to listen to this. I was like, I'm too tired. I'm not listening to some goofy podcast, which turned out to be Issues, etc. But that was my first kind of interaction with Lutheranism, was my dad just sending me podcasts, links to Lutheran satire videos. And that was my first introduction to the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
Before you were deployed to Afghanistan, you went home for a little bit. Tell us about that return home.
Yeah, you know, it's like any pre-deployment leave. A lot of guys, you know, you party. Especially, you know, first time, obviously you're a little nervous, right? You don't know what you're fully getting yourself into yet. Before everyone's first pump, you have no concept what it's going to be. So I, you know, was having fun, hanging out with friends, bonfires, you know, drinking. I remember my dad told me the last week of my pre-deployment leave, like, hey, you should go visit my friend. He's the Lutheran pastor, and go to this thing called Confession and Absolution. It might be good for you right before you go. I was like, okay, like this Lutheranism stuff seems interesting enough. They make funny videos on YouTube. So I drove over to the church, you know, met with the pastor, and we did confession and absolution. And I think in an evangelical, you know, mindset, you kind of have this idea that confession and absolution, private confession and absolution, is always going to be this like magical feeling, right? Because it seems almost, you know, some kind of supernatural belief. But really, you go through it, it's not, right? You don't feel different, but, right, the pastor's words remain. So I met with that pastor, and I thanked him. He told me he'd send me some care packages while I was overseas. And then I came home, and day before I left, my dad gave me this small little blue book with a rose and cross on it inside a heart. And he told me this was Luther's small catechism, and told me I should take it along with me, and I might find it interesting what it said. And then he gave me this very old pamphlet, probably from 2005, from the LCMS. It just described the LCMS's beliefs, and they seemed interesting. I really liked on the pamphlet that they always talked about Jesus a lot, his death for us. I wasn't sold, but it seemed better than what I had been believing the last 19 and a half years of my life.
Tell us about your deployment in Afghanistan.
Well, I think there's a good old saying, right, in war, right? It's long stretches of boredom sprinkled with tiny moments of terror and adrenaline. It's not Hollywood, right? There's boring times and there's times of terror. But I think it becomes realer, right, the longer you're there, right? The more you're surrounded by that lingering and feeling of death, being by death as your unit takes casualties, you know, men you know and who are killed and wounded, right? It becomes very real, right? It's not the game you played as a young boy, right? Where people get up again after they, quote unquote, get shot. No, people don't get back up. They get their flesh torn from them. They do die. I think that is when you start seeing that breakdown of kind of that former mindset. And that's how I would always say, you know, the war made me a Lutheran at the end of the day.
So since we're on the subject, what are your thoughts on how pastors can serve not only those who are in the military deployed, but also their families?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I think a lot of times we try to overcomplicate how we can better serve our neighbors, especially pastors that might feel they're out of their zone dealing with, you know, combat vets, veterans, current active duty, law enforcement officers. And I would say it's the same as it is for everyone else. Those are sinners, right? And sinners who have been redeemed by our Lord's and is accomplishing work. And the tools are already there for you as a pastor, right? You have God's word and sacrament, and that's what you need. That's how we strengthen our flocks, is by delivering the means of grace by which our Lord chooses to meet us. It doesn't need to be anything special, right? It's the same thing, right? Christ, who's died for us, all that pain, all that sorrow, it will be done away with because we know our Lord is coming back and he's going to raise us all from the dead, right? And bring us to the life everlasting.
In those long stretches of boredom in Afghanistan, you did eventually get around to listening to the few episodes of Issues, Etc. that were on your device. Do you remember which ones they were and what you listened to first?
Yeah, I do. I don't remember how they somehow downloaded onto my iPod. So, you know, you're in the hooch at night or day if you're on a reverse cycle or doing operations at night. I just remember, like, you're trying to block out all the other people who are sleeping in bunks next to you. So one of the easiest ways is put headphones in. And I remember, like, just reading, I was reading the small catechism, seemed interesting. And then for some reason, I started opening the Bible and reading Genesis 1. And then there was an Issues, Etc. episode download about the Lord's Sacrament and Luther versus Zwingli and the distinction between the two views. And I was like, oh, wow, these Lutherans believe it's actually Christ's body and blood. That's interesting. And then I remember the other one being about confession and absolution in relation to Isaiah being swept up into the throne room of God, right? In the cherubim taking the coal and saying, behold, your sins are forgiven. And I remember being like, oh, wow, that's really interesting. It's not like this, you know, it's because God proclaims it to be that, just like in that confession and absolution I went to with that pastor. And then the third one was on baptism. I was just like, wow, you know, like, that's really interesting. I never realized baptism was related to the flood. Who would have ever thought that in the history of all 2,000 years of Christendom? Who would have ever came up with that concept? And I strongly remember when I became to accepting Genesis as an actual event, that is how, you know, I was like, well, yeah, of course, if the flood's real, like, this is his true body and blood because he says it to be so. I mean, he's raising people from the dead himself by saying he will just through his word. Why can't this be the case? Of course it is. And so the longer and more time I just thought about it and accepted Genesis 1 as this is actually our Lord's word, it's true. He did create the world in 6 days. The more I was like, yeah, of course he saves us through baptism. It's being highlighted in the flood here. And it was kind of that just breaking out basically from that old worldview, just our Lord's word truly. I can't even describe it. Just hitting home and just coming to faith through that.
So at some point there, in the middle of your service in Afghanistan, you effectively became a Lutheran.
Yeah, I still remember the moment. I think I was sitting in the gym doing PT in our camp's gym. I just remember like thinking about something, and I was just like, yeah, I think I'm a Lutheran. I'm not evangelical. I'm not like a Christian anymore. Like, I am a Lutheran, and I put Lutheran on my dog tags right before I deployed because I didn't know what to put, so I just figured make dad happy, and I ended up, you know, those dog tags were correct by the end of deployment. I was a Lutheran.
Jake Domick is our guest. We're talking about his journey from theism to Lutheranism as part of Issues Etc. Reformation Week. When we come back, what was the biggest theological obstacle for him? In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand, I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. Find out the benefits of becoming an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron on the Support Donate page at issuesetc.org. Click the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation: Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc. and you.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Have you ever picked up a copy of the Book of Concord and been overwhelmed by it? There's a whole bunch of difficult names and documents and apologies and formula of concords and epitomes and solid declarations, and before you know it, you don't even know where you are in the book. Well, if you've had this question, you'll be interested in picking up the October issue of the Lutheran Witness, your reader's guide to the Book of Concord. To subscribe, visit cph.org/witness or learn more on the Lutheran Witness website, witness.lcms.org. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
From theism to Lutheranism is our topic. Jake Domick is our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. You're connected to Issues Etc. Folks, when you join our monthly or annual giving program, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club, not only will you be supporting this worldwide outreach, but you'll also receive premiums like shirts, books, broadcast transcripts, and advertising for your confessional Lutheran church. Please become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron during Issues Etc. Reformation Week. Learn more by giving us a call, 618-223-8385, or on the Support Donate page at issuesetc.org, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. Jake, what was the biggest theological obstacle for you?
You know, I think that's a very interesting question. I think a lot of people who have come out of evangelicalism into Lutheranism have had obstacles, either it be the Lord's Supper or baptism. If I'm being honest, I didn't necessarily have one. I think my worldview had become so sour to evangelicalism, and then mixed in was just seeing the horror and depravity of the reality of our human nature. When I started reading, you know, and listening to Lutheran theology, it jived with what I was seeing, to the point where I knew, like, yeah, this just has to all be true, or it can't be true, because this is too great a story to either some of it be false or all of it be true. So it has to be one or the other.
So talk about your return from your deployment. What was that like?
I think it's different for everyone in their own ways. I redeployed around Christmas, and I mostly remember getting on the bird, the plane, to return back. And I just remember sitting there in the seat and just realizing I'm never going to be the same. But I knew through that, because it was Christmas, you know, the incarnation of Christ had never felt so real to me, because after that entire deployment, I now knew why, right? Christ had to come into the world. It willingly comes into the world, right? It felt so real because I knew it firsthand now, right? How just wicked we can be, how wicked the world is. But the knowledge, right, that Christ himself willingly comes into and takes on the sins of the world. And I just remember how striking that was, getting on the plane and returning just kind of with that knowledge. It just never had felt so real before. I don't think it ever has, just because I don't think you have many of those life once in a lifetime opportunities to kind of experience something like that.
Tell us about the first time you walked into a Lutheran church after your redeployment.
Well, I walked back actually into what became my parents' home congregation after they also ended up returning to the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And I remember just being so uncomfortable because people are crossing themselves, people are genuflecting, I'm standing, they're sitting, I don't know what's going on. I remember just feeling so out of place, just entirely out of place. But just like, you know, I remember the last time I went back to my old mega church right when I got back, just to see people in the service. I just remember walking out of that service being like, this was the worst Christmas service I ever went to. And I remember going to the Lutheran church and, you know, just hearing about Christ is coming into the world to rescue us, die for us, right? He's being put in a manger, solely a feeding trough, right? And today he's going to come back and feed us, right, with his true body and blood, right? And just the absolute distinct differences between these two sermons, how they are almost one end of the spectrum on the opposing ends.
You are 27 years old. What do you say to Lutherans who say that in order to reach younger people like you, we need to remove barriers like the historic liturgy, the ancient creeds, classical Christian hymns?
Yeah, I always find this very interesting when I hear people who claim this. I guess as self-appointed spokesman for millennial and Gen Z Lutherans for today, I would just say that's a bunch of hogwash. And I think it really, I mean, if we want to start, I mean, I think it comes down to the word Lutheran, which means something, right? That doesn't mean we follow Martin Luther, right? It means we follow the Lutheran confessions, the ones you bound yourself to at the moment of your confirmation to uphold, right? To the end. Look no further than, you know, the Augsburg Confession, Article 24 of the Mass, right? Falsely are we accused of abolishing the Mass, for the Mass is retained among us and celebrated with the highest reverence. Nearly all the usual ceremonies are also preserved, save the parts sung in Latin are interspersed here and there with German hymns, which have been added to teach the people. For ceremonies are needed to this end alone, that the unlearned be taught. I mean, it comes down, right? The Lutheran Church retains the historic liturgy that's in our confessions. But furthermore, right, people, young folks that are leaving evangelical backgrounds and coming to the Lutheran Church, they don't want the same old, same old. They love the Lutheran Church because we are part of not only the church, but the church in the broader sense, right? And we're celebrating with all those that have gone before us, right? From thousands of years of the same liturgy, singing some of the same hymns. We're united together through that, through this veil of tears till our Lord returns. We are traveling through it together, right? And there is that deepness and richness of being part of something that's broader than yourself, right? Just like the military offers. You're part of something greater than yourself. And that's what's so great about the liturgy. It's not about you. It's not about current trends. It's about being part of something that will endure against the gates of hell itself.
What did you find in Lutheran doctrine that sustained you during your time at war and afterwards?
Yeah, I think if I could go back to that earlier part, it really was the incarnation. Because I think oftentimes in evangelical theology, right, either Jesus is either God or he's just a man. He's never fully God, fully man. And when you don't really have that concept that he's united together in this, with his two persons are united, you don't have that. I guess it doesn't seem as personal, right? But with Lutheran theology, when you have those two persons united, you have not only your Lord, but your brother, right, that knows the suffering of the world. He was rejected by it and crucified. He knows your suffering because he's a man, but he's also your Lord, right? He hears your petitions, right? And you can have absolute confidence that he is, just as he raised himself, right, as the first fruits, he's going to come back for you too. Even though the world be run amok and, you know, crumble, your Lord endures through all. From the beginning to the end, our Lord Jesus, fully God, fully man, endures to the end.
Jake Domick is a U.S. Army Ranger veteran. He's a Hillsdale College grad, a former political staffer, member of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hillsdale, Michigan, and author of a column for the latest Issues Etc. journal titled Wittenberg Trail, From the Battlefield to Christ's Altar, My Journey to Confessional Lutheranism. You can subscribe absolutely free to the Issues Etc. journal. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click the red subscription button, and enter your email address, the Issues Etc. journal. Jake, thanks.
Yeah, thanks so much again for having me, Todd. Happy to be here.
Issues Etc. Reformation Week concludes on Friday. We'll talk with Rachel Gernhardt about her journey from evangelicalism to Lutheranism. We'll get a review of the movie Dune with Pastor Ted Geese. It's This Week in Pop Christianity with Chris Roseborough. And we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Thanks to our beloved on-demand listeners, Issues Etc. consistently ranks among the top podcasts in religion and spirituality. You can help us climb the charts by subscribing, rating, and reviewing Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit the subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for podcast listeners to find Issues Etc. Help us cast Christ's net on the internet. Subscribe, rate, and review Issues Etc. today.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to 8th grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.